Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasudevaya. Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pucharane Nirvasa Krishna Vani Pasachari Pucharane. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Bhagavan, Kana, Pacha, 26, verse 24. Tasmin,
Tasmin,
Dadhe,
Dadhe,
Daman,
Daman,
Dava, Vira, Patni, Ayo, Vanyatra,
Vatnabhu,
Sura,
Sura,
Kula, Kritta, Kilbisha, Stam, Pase, Na, Vita, Ayam, Unmuditam, Trilokyam, Anyatra, Vai, Ura, Ripo, Itaratra, Dasa, Tasmin dade damanaham tava vira patni.
Tasmin dade damanaham tava vira patni.
Yonya prabhu surakula krita gilvishastam.
Yonya surakula krita
gilvishastam. Pase navita vayam unmuditam trilokyam.
Pase navita vayam unmuditam trilokyam.
Nyatra vayam ura rapor itaratra dasa.
Tasmin dade damam aham tava vira patni.
Tasmin dade damam aham tava vira patni.
Yonyatra bhusara bhusura kula kruta kilpishastam.
Yonyatra bhusura kula kruta kilpishastam.
Pasyena vita vayam unmuditam trilokyam.
Pasyena vita vayam unmuditam
Anyatra
vaimura viparitaratra dasa. Tasmin dade damam aham tava vira patni.
Yonyatra
bhusara kula kruta kilpishastam. Pasyena vita vayam unmuditam trilokyam.
In the group of demigods on this earth, Kripta, Dan, Gilbisha, Offense, Tam, Yim, Pasye, I see, Na, Not, Vita, without, Vayam, fear, Unmuditam, without anxiety. Trilokyam, in the three worlds, Anyatra, elsewhere, Vai. Certainly, Mura Ripo, enemy of Mura, Itaratra, on the other hand, Dasa, then the servant. Translation, O heroes, wife Connie, tell me if someone has offended you, I am prepared to give such a person punishment as long as he does not belong to a Brahmin caste. But for the servant of Murarippa, I excuse no one within or beyond these three worlds. No one can freely move after offending you, for I am prepared to punish him. Remember, of Ayurvedic civilization, a Brahmin, or one who is properly qualified to understand the absolute truth, that is, one belonging to the most intelligent social order, as well as a devotee of Lord Krishna, who is known as Maharaja, enemy of a demon named Mura, is not subject to the rules and regulations of the state. In other words, upon breaking the laws of the state, everyone can be punished by the government except the Brahmin and Vaishnava. Brahmins and Vaishnavas never transgress the laws of the state or the laws of nature because they know perfectly well the resultant reactions caused by such lawbreaking. Even though they may sometimes appear to violate the laws, they are not to be punished by the king. This instruction was given to King Prachinabari Shant by Narada Muni. King Prachinabari was a representative of King Prachinabari Shant, and Narada Muni was reminding King Prachinabari Shant of his forefather Mahavari Prithu, who never chastised a Brahmin or a Vaishnava. One's pure intelligence or pure Krishna consciousness becomes polluted by material activities. Pure consciousness can be revived by the process of sacrifice, charity, pious activities, etc., but when one pollutes his Krishna consciousness by offending a Brahmin or a Vaishnava, it is very difficult to revive. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described the Vaishnava aparad, or offense to a Vaishnava, as the mad elephant offense. One should be very careful not to offend a Vaishnava or a Brahmana. Even the great yogi Durvasa was harassed by the Sudarshan Chakra when he offended the Vaishnava Maharaj Ambarish, who was neither a Brahmin nor a sannyasi, but an ordinary householder. Maharaj Ambarish was a Vaishnava, and consequently Durvasa Muni was chastised. The conclusion is that if Krishna consciousness is covered by material sins, one can eliminate the sins simply by the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. But if one pollutes his Krishna consciousness by offending a Brahmana or a Vaishnava, one cannot revive it until one properly atones for the sin by pleasing the offended Vaishnava or Brahmana. This was the course that Dhruva Maharaj had to follow, for he surrendered unto Maharaj Ambarish. A Vaishnava aparad cannot be atoned for by any means other than begging the pardon of the offended Vaishnava. My dear wife, until this day I have never seen your face without tilak decoration, nor have I seen you so morose and without lustre or affection, nor have I seen your two nights' rest wet with tears from your eyes, nor have I ever before seen your lips, which are ordinarily as red as a bimba fruit, without the reddish shoe. Wherefore, every woman looks very beautiful when decorated with tealock and vermilion. A woman generally becomes very attractive when her lips are colored with a reddish saffron or vermilion. And when one's consciousness and intelligence are without any brilliant thoughts about Krishna, they become morose and lusterless. So much so that one cannot derive any benefit despite sharp intelligence. My dear queen, due to my sinful desires, I went to the forest to hunt without asking you. Therefore, I must admit that I have offended you. Nonetheless, thinking of me as your most intimate subordinate, you should still be very much pleased with me. Factually, I am very much bereaved, but being pierced by the arrow of Cupid, I am feeling lusty. But where is the beautiful woman who would give me her lusty husband and refuse to unite with him? Give up her lusty husband and refuse to unite with him. Wherefore, both man and woman desire one another, and that is the basic principle of material existence. Women in general always keep themselves beautiful so they can be attractive to their lusty husbands. But a lusty husband becomes before his wife, the wife takes advantage of his aggressive activities and enjoys life. Generally, when a woman is attacked by a man, whether her husband or some other man, she enjoys the attack, being too lusty. In other words, when one's intelligence is properly utilized, both the intellect and intelligent person enjoy one another with great satisfaction. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, in my 29 degree of Medi Sukham Itucham, Kanduya Nena Karayori Yuva Dukha Dukham. The actual happiness of the karmis is the sex life. They work very hard outside the home, and to satiate their hard labor, they come home to enjoy sex life. King Paranjana went to the forest to hunt, and after his hard labor, he returned home to enjoy sex life. If a man lives outside the home and spends a week in a city or somewhere else, at the end of the week, he becomes very anxious to return home and enjoy sex life with his wife. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. In my 29 degree Hanayi, Sukham Hitucham, karmis work very hard simply to enjoy sex life. Modern human society has improved the materialistic way of life simply by inducing unrestricted sex life in so many ways. This is most prominently visible in the Western world. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports, the fourth canto, 26th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled, King Paranjana goes to the forest to hunt, and his queen becomes angry. Oh, heroes, why kindly tell me if someone has offended you? I am prepared to give such a person punishment as long as he does not belong to a Brahmin caste. But for the servant of Muraripu, I excuse no one within or without the three worlds. No one can freely move after offending you, for I am prepared to punish him. My dear wife, until this day I have never seen your face without tealak decoration, or have I seen you so morose and without luster or affection, nor have I seen your two nice breasts wet with tears from your eyes, nor have I ever seen your lips, which are ordinarily as red as a bimbo fruit, without their reddish hue. My dear queen, due to my sinful desires, I went to the forest to hunt without asking you. Therefore, I must admit that I have offended you. Nonetheless, thinking of me as your most intimate subordinate, I should still be very much pleased with you. Actually, I'm very much bereaved, but being pierced by the arrows of Cupid, I am feeling lusty. But where is the beautiful woman who would give up her lusty husband and refuse to unite with him? So this finishes this episode of the dissension between Paranjana and his queen, which is actually his intelligence. So the intelligence became angry and didn't cooperate with him because he ignored her. So this is represented by these personalities, the king and the queen, where the queen begins to sulk because the king ignores her and doesn't cooperate with him, and then he must apologize to her and somehow beg her to cooperate again. So the idea here is that the ideal situation is that the intelligence is very useful to the human being, and in material life we utilize that intelligence for different things. And of course, ideally, the intelligence is used to put some control over the desires so that we do not commit sinful activities. And in this case, King Puranjana went out and did his sinful activities by hunting in the forest without restriction. So therefore the intelligence was not used at that point, and therefore did not cooperate. So therefore he had to somehow pacify her again. So that is the one level of intelligence that we have useful in the material world for things. And this is utilized in Karma Kanda or Karma Yoga or Dharma and Smriti Shastras, etc., where the intelligence is given knowledge of standards, what is right and what is wrong, rules and regulations. And based on those standards, then the intelligence knows what to do and what not to do. So if the intelligence is in control, then fine, we cooperate and we go about our life in the varna ashram system, following the rules of a particular varna and ashram, using the intelligence. So that creates what we call civilization, when the intelligence is in control. When it's not in control, then of course, one would reject those rules or forget those rules and break those rules, whatever. In which case, if one was in the varna ashram system, one would be punished. Either self-punishment in the sense that one would recognize he broke the rule and therefore he has to do a prayaschitta of some sort. And of course other persons who are less elevated, not brahminical, then the king would have to take them and punish them if they had serious infractions of the rules. So in this way, the varnashram system depends upon use of the intelligence to control the senses. We can say the outstanding feature of the varnashram system is that, to distinguish from other systems in the world, is that different sets of people have different rules, different sets of rules. So what is sinful for one is not sinful for the other, whereas normally you see the one or the other. Most societies do not distinguish like that, but here we get distinctions. So what is sin for the Brahmin is not sin for the Sudra, etc. So that's one distinction we find in the varnashram system. Based upon qualification of different gunas, different people in different gunas. So it's more liberal for people in the lower gunas and more strict for people in the higher gunas. And the king is supposed to enforce all of this, but the king actually cannot enforce the Brahmins because he is under the control of the Brahmins. So the Brahmins have to do it voluntarily and inflict their own punishments or whatever on themselves if they fall into some sort of problem. So that is the intelligence. But this also is material because it's all within the gunas. We're talking about doing activities to restrict the gunas to some degree and elevate people to sattva guna. So for this reason, ultimately, the Bhagavad Gita rejects the whole system as not being too productive because it's not ultimately spiritual. Of course, we have to recognize that the results of Karma Yoga are only produced by bhakti. But of course, that bhakti is not pure bhakti. It is a type of mixed bhakti that people will have in this system. And it is due to that that they get some results from their work. So, karma cannot give its results independently at all. It is dependent upon the Supreme Lord in some sort of bhakti. But the results are material. Some sort of enjoyment in the material world, whether it's in tamaguna or sattvaguna. So that is one use of intelligence. So it is preferable to have sattvaguna intelligence rather than tamaguna intelligence, because there's more sense control there, and the possibility of understanding the difference between body and soul is there. So vidya introduces a person to spiritual life, at least atmagyan in sattva-guna. So therefore, it's acceptable as a preliminary process of spiritual life.
But as I said, that's only preliminary because Atmajnana is not complete. And Jnana leads to liberation, not to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, that whole system was ultimately rejected. And Lord Chaitanya says that the fifth goal is prema, not moksha, or artha, dharma, and kama. So the other ones, the other four are karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga. Therefore these processes are ultimately rejected. So the intelligence is useful in the material world so you can enjoy. So you can utilize the intelligence in one sense to enjoy sinfully too. But then the intelligence actually is under the control of the senses and the mind. So as the king here, Paranjana, was doing, like going on hunting, he had to use intelligence to some degree for the hunting, so, but it was not the proper intelligence. That is one level, and then the other level is actually to utilize intelligence properly with discrimination so that one minimizes sinful activities. So that was the position here where the king apologizes to the queen and whatever after he regrets his sinful activities. So then we end up with a varnashramic type system with limitations and whatever. But the goal again is not spiritual. It is generally material in karma yoga. The idea is limit the senses so that we can get future enjoyment in terms of svarga loka or whatever. If one progresses beyond that, then one can go to jnana, and one can reject karma yoga and go to jnana yoga, and then we can get liberation. But as I said, that also is not considered to be the ultimate goal, so therefore that gets rejected. In the jnana yoga, one also uses buddhi, one uses intelligence. Discrimination is necessary to study Vedanta and understand the difference between lower and higher, that is atma and body. So again, we have the use of the intelligence there to help us in our spiritual life. But this type of use of intelligence, again, is only sattva-guna. The process of jnana is sattvic only, by which we get vidya, which is within maya itself also. So therefore, this is not a real satisfying goal for the atma. Intelligence, therefore, on this level, again, is not, whether it's in karma yoga or jnana yoga, is not the highest intelligence, even though in that sense it controls the senses, etc. It's not the ultimate process. So as I mentioned the other day, the real intelligence is that which derives from bhakti. The Lord himself says, I give you the intelligence by which you can come to me. So that is spiritual intelligence. Not material intelligence. So that, of course, is a higher principle. It's got nothing to do with the function in the material world where we have buddhi and mind and chitta and part of the subtle body, and then we have gross body, etc. So ultimately, real intelligence must reside in the atma, inspired by the Supreme Lord. And by that, its beginning is called faith, we can distinguish Supreme Lord, Jiva, and matter. But we cannot do that clearly in the beginning with faith, so therefore we need scripture for that. So therefore we have knowledge again necessary in the scripture. That knowledge is not the material knowledge of jnana or yoga or karma. That section of the knowledge in the Vedas is nirguna. That's the nirguna section. So that is the bhakti section. We have to get sarup jnana, understand the nature of Supreme Lord, nature of jiva, nature of maya, nature of bhakti. That's called sarup jnana, or bhagavat jnana, or sambandha jnana. So that is another type of knowledge which we must absorb with our buddhi. But this is spiritual, and therefore spiritual intelligence operates to understand all of this. So that is the real ultimate, the real intelligence. That's the real buddhi. So we have the Atma with its intelligence controlling the material aspect of buddhi and the mind and the senses, etc., in the material world to engage in devotional service. So that is the real sequence we should follow. So it all derives from the fact that the jiva has developed faith, sincere faith in the Lord. And then he gets proper buddhi through the scriptures, and he's able to execute Sudha Bhakti by that method. They're not subject to the Kshatriya. In other words, the Kshatriya cannot punish the Brahmana. So certainly there are punishments there, but they're more or less self-punishment. In other words, there is prayaschittas for different sinful activities. So these are voluntary things, not that the king must force the person to do it.
The goal of life is to develop love for God, which is not part of Varnashram system. Literally, Varnashram system actually, that's another reason why Varnashram system is not useful for Vaishnavas.
Yeah. If we mix them, then it's considered mixed bhakti of sorts. Bhakti is covered. So one has to be very careful. Of course, in pure bhakti, you can utilize certain things which are useful for bhakti. So we take elements of the Varna Ashram system, like cleanliness and sense control and so many things. They're useful for Vaishnavas also, but we don't depend on those things.
So when you say these four regulative principles, are they part of Varna
Ashram? They're Dharma. They're part of Dharma. So one can become a Vaishnava even if he's sinful. So even if he breaks all the regulative principles, he can be a Vaishnava. But of course, in becoming a Vaishnava, then he gives up those things because the Vaishnava develops all good qualities. So he surpasses the Dharma of the material world. But it's not a qualification for bhakti, because Mrigari the hunter was killing animals and was tamasic and whatever. He was lower than the lowest. So he had no principles. But he was able, Narada Muni had mercy on him, and he was able to do bhakti. But he had to start giving up. He had to give up all those propensities at that point.
Maharaj, can we also say that somebody who can follow the regular principles naturally is more advanced?
No. He's more sattvic. So devotional service may be easier for him because he can control the senses more, and not controlling the senses is unfavorable. But on the other hand, if he had very little faith, then he may not be as productive as someone who came from Tamaguna but had more faith. So it doesn't, in other words, we cannot judge a person just based on gunas, that he's, because of that, he came from this guna, therefore he's certainly easier. But he may not have faith because it may be contaminated by other smart ideas or whatever. So therefore his bhakti is mixed, and therefore he doesn't have proper faith, and therefore the result of his bhakti will be something else.
And what in case of my practicing yogis? The yogis who are practicing. For some of them it may be out of, because the regular principles that they have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they may have some taste for it. But on the other hand, there are devotees who naturally can easily avoid it. The devotee community, there are certain devotees who may have to do it because it's a regular person, they have to follow.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they believe. Whereas there may be some devotees who are naturally don't have any inclination for the.
Yeah.
Can we say that is also a symptom of advancement?
Well, may or may not. Someone may have developed those qualities by just being a sattva-gun, which is not bhakti. Another person may have developed that through the bhakti itself. So in other words, one may have those qualities but not be advanced. One may be a mayavadi, for instance, and have those qualities naturally also. Or a smarta, and have those naturally sense control, whatever. But he's smarta, so he's not even a devotee. So it's not necessarily a measure of a devotee, but it could be in some cases.
Moksha being one of them, Varnashram. So we can say that Varnashram is not for inclined towards both. Moksha is one of the aims of
bhakti. Yeah, so moksha is unfavorable for bhakti because you merge into Brahman. So it negates bhakti.
अनंतराज से श्रीमद भागवत की
जय।
श्रीमद महाराज की
जय।
श्रीमद प्रभुपाद की
जय।
Mataji.